Today, the beginning of the 3 weeks, a time to mourn, a time to mourn for an event that took place 2,000 years ago. Why do we mourn today for an event that happened 2,000 years ago? And this question was asked already by the great philosopher Plato. Plato, the Greek philosopher, heard about the Churban HaBayis. He heard the temple had been destroyed. He went to Yerushalayim to see what was happening there. And when he came to the ruins of the Beis HaMikdash, he saw there Yirmiyahu HaNavi crying over the destroyed building. He'd heard who Yirmiyahu HaNavi was, and he asked Yirmiyahu HaNavi that, since you're such a smart man, I have two questions to ask you. Number one, why are you crying over a destroyed building, over broken sticks and stones? What's the difference? It's a building. And my second question is, even if this building meant something to you, it's in the past. Chazal used the Lashon, Maida Hava Hava. What's been, what's gone is gone. It's been already. Or as they say in the secular world, no use crying over spilt milk. So why are you mourning over a Beis HaMikdash that is gone? So Yirmiyahu HaNavi asked him, do you have any questions in life, philosophical questions, that you don't know the answer to? And Plato said he does, and he told him some questions. Yirmiyahu HaNavi answered him all his questions. All his difficulties were answered. So he said to Yirmiyahu, my question is even greater. Since you're such a smart man, why are you crying over this building? So Yirmiyahu HaNavi said to him that whenever I had difficulties in life, questions, I didn't have the answers to them. Just like you, I also had difficulties. I would come to this building. I would daven here in this building. And through that prayer, I would be inspired. And I would think of the answers to my difficult questions. So you can understand why I cry when such a building is lost. And of course, Plato understood that. He never answered, Yirmiyahu never answered Plato's second question. Rev Simcha Zissel of Kelm explains why Yirmiyahu HaNavi did not answer the second question. It's over, it's gone. What are you crying over something in the past? And he explains, because a goy, a Gentile, would never have understood the answer to the second question. That Jews mourn over the past. The reason we cry over the past is because if you don't care about what happened in the past, if you don't mourn the destruction of the temple, you won't look forward to have it rebuilt. You won't do what's necessary to cause it to be rebuilt. It's necessary to look back in order to look forward to the future. A goy couldn't understand this, because a goy looks at it. We have had many great cultures, great nations. We've had a Syrian empire, an Egyptian empire, and Roman empire, all of them lying in the dust heap of history. And what happened when they were taken over? The people didn't worry. They moved on. They looked, whoever's the leaders now will deal with them. They didn't care about the past. They weren't looking to rebuild. A goy wouldn't understand, why should you want to be rebuilt? Get on with life. Move on with the present. But by a Jew, we look back, and through that, we come forward to the future as well. We are the only nation who has accomplished this. No nation in history has been without a land. We don't even have a language that we all speak, the common language. And nevertheless, we've survived. Kivsa Achas, one single lamb with Shivim Zevim, with 70 wolves surrounding us, trying to destroy us. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Moshe Rabbeinu for the first time, he appeared in a burning bush. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, Hasneh bo'er bo'esh, the bush is burning with fire. Moshe Rabbeinu could see that throughout history, Klal Yisrael will be burning with fire. He saw the fires of the Inquisition of the Auto da Fe when they would burn people in the fires. He saw the fires of the ovens of Auschwitz. He saw the fires of the Intifada blowing up pizza stores and people dying in fires. But Moshe also saw, Hasneh einenu ukol, however much they try to eradicate us, whether it's a Hitler with a final solution, whether it's a Haman, lahashmid, laharig, la'abed iskol Yehudim, a Haman trying to destroy all the Jews, Hasneh, the bush, is never destroyed. Klal Yisrael will live on. But there's only one way we can live on, and that's by looking to the past, and then we will rebuild, and we will march towards the future. The New York Times, in its millennium edition, they had a special section, three pages in their special section. One page was a New York Times front page of January 1st, 1900, to see what happened 100 years ago on that date. One of them was January 1st, 2000, that day's front page of New York Times. And the third page of it was January 1st, 2100, predictions of what would be the headlines in January 1st, 2100. And interestingly enough, at the bottom of that page, there was a little advertisement that said, Jewish women and girls, Friday night candle lighting time is 4:30 in the afternoon. It was a Friday, and they had that advertisement. Now, that advertisement had appeared in the New York Times between 1990 and 1995. There was a philanthropist who wanted to spread Yiddishkeit in the tri-state area. And he felt the best place to spread it is the New York Times. And he paid $5,000 a week in order to print that every Friday. In 1995, it stopped. I don't know what happened, if he ran out of money, but it stopped happening. But in the year 2000, when they printed this edition for 2100, they put that ad in there. And somebody called up the Irish guy who printed and made that page. Why is it he put that on the page? Nobody paid him to put it there. So he explained that we don't know what's going to happen in the year 2100. We came up with interesting ideas. People traveling, vacations to the moon, different things they could think of. But one thing we do know for sure, the Jewish women and girls will be lighting candles Friday night in the year 2100. But that will only happen if we look to the past. Then we can look forward to the future. And now we have to mourn for the past. That is our obligation in the next 3 weeks and all year to some degree. But the question is, do we really mourn? The dictionary defines mourning as outward symbols of sorrow, or a period of time where symbols of grief are shown. So the dictionary is describing it as a very outward mourning. But that is not the mourning that we have to do. Our mourning has to be from the heart. And Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes something in his Siddur, which is very scary. He writes, "Il mole loy hoya elo avon ze biyodenu, if we would only have this sin on our hands, she'ein misavlin al Yerushalayim, that we don't mourn Yerushalayim, koroi correctly, dai laharech goloseinu, this would be enough to lengthen our exile. The reason we're so long in exile is that we don't mourn enough." But not only that, he says, "V'hi be'enai hasibur." This is also the cause, that the chazok and the strong cause for all the troubles we suffer when we're in Golos. B'chol mokem pezareinu, wherever we're scattered. And then he writes, "Shachachnu is Yerushalayim." We've forgotten Yerushalayim. "V'loy olsa levenu." We never think about Yerushalayim at all. "V'chol oyev emes yoyde ledevreinu." Anybody who loves the truth will admit to this. "Mi v'mi hamis avel." Who is really mourning? "V'nenach and groaning al churban abayis." "Ushmomis and the destruction of Arzenu." Nobody seems to care, he says. And not only is this the cause of Beis HaMikdash not being rebuilt, it is also the cause of our suffering when we are in exile. And that is because the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash was a relationship. The Ribbono Shel Olam was here living among us. It was a powerful relationship. The Ribbono Shel Olam left. Of course we have the relationship, but now it's a distant relationship. And if we don't care about it, that relationship will not come back. There's a story of a person, a very wealthy man, who was going to buy a building, a skyscraper. The deal didn't work out in the end. And one day he happened to have been visiting that building. They're on business. He wanted to see that what the building was like that he almost bought. So he took a tour of the building. He went up to the roof. And when he was on the roof, he looked down. He saw what was happening around. He saw the views. Was trying to come back, and the door was stuck. It was locked. He couldn't get back to the door he'd come into. And now he was stuck on the roof. He tries banging at the door. No answer. He's banging, he's screaming. No answer. He tries calling down to people in the street. Again, nobody can hear him. And he's trying to find ways that people should find him there, thinking of ideas. Because if he gets stuck there, it's winter. It's going to get dark. It's going to be freezing there. Who knows what can happen? He could freeze to death. And he comes up with an idea. He takes dollar bills out of his wallet and he throws them down to the people below. And what does he see? People scurrying to pick up those dollar bills. He tries sending $5 bills, $10 bills. And again, everybody rushes to pick them up. But nobody looks up to where they're coming from. He tries $100 bills. That will get people's notice. Yeah, it gets their notice. They grab the $100 bills. This is New York. They move on. So he tries throwing little pebbles until finally he throws big rocks down. And then finally, people look up at him. The Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to notice him as well. And the Ribbono Shel Olam, even in Golus, he can shower us with $5 bills, $10 bills, $100 bills, simchas, happiness, so much he can give us. But do we notice him? Sometimes people don't notice him. So he can throw little rocks, and sometimes, Rachmon al-Islan, bigger rocks, to make sure that we notice the Ribbono Shel Olam. And Rabbi Yaakov Emden says, these tzoros that were happening in Golus, are for us to notice Ribbono Shel Olam, to want that relationship back, for us to care about it. But what happens? We have the symbols that it says in the dictionary, symbols of mourning, halachas of mourning. One cannot cut their hair in the 3 weeks. One doesn't eat meat or drink wine in the 9 days. So we have the symbols. But what about the feelings? The symbols alone aren't enough. Because the point of the symbols, the point of the halachas, are to promote mourning, the feeling, the hargosha, that we should really feel and care. But what happens? People go through the motions, and then the 3 weeks are over. Baruch Hashem, it's over. I can listen to music again. I can have a haircut, thank goodness. That isn't what it's about. This is a lesson for the whole year. The whole year, to some degree, we have to worry about Churban HaBayis, about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. When one looks at the halachas of daily life, you look in Shulchan Aruch, it begins with the halacha of getting up in the morning. Right away after it talks about getting up in the morning, next, what does it say? Next halacha, that every Yerushalayim should be meitzer v'doeg al churban Beis HaMikdash, should feel this sadness, this distress at the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Not in Hilchas Tisha B'Av. Daily life, every day to some degree, we have to feel that mourning. How intense should it be, or could it be? We see another halacha, that when somebody benches, they should take the knives off the table. Why? Because one time somebody was benching, and while he was benching, he was saying, Rachim Noah, I'm talking about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and he felt so bad he stabbed himself. So to prevent this happening, we take knives off the table. This halacha is not said for great people. It's said for everybody. Because a person is mourning and feeling that could happen such a thing. But we have to begin by feeling something. On Tisha B'Av, we say kinnis. Kinnis begins with a sentence of one word. In the morning of Tisha B'Av, one word we begin with. Shavas. Shavas means an emptiness, a standstill, a void. And that sums up what we should be feeling. We should feel there is nothing without the Beis HaMikdash. And that one word is really a quote from a pasuk in Eicha. The pasuk in Eicha says, Shavas Mesos Libeinu Nepach Le'evel Mechileinu, which means that gone is the joy of our hearts. Our mourning, our joy has turned to mourning. That we cannot feel joy anymore. It's not possible to feel real joy as long as we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. We see that Yosef and Binyamin, the two brothers, didn't see each other for 22 years. And finally they meet up. They cry on each other's necks. Why are they crying? To Chazal tell us. They are crying for the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash, for the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So Rabbi Shimon Schwab asks, who says they're crying for the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash? Maybe they're crying tears of joy. They're meeting up after 22 years. And he asks another question. There's a medrash that says that when we have Geula, when there's redemption, Omocha Hashem Dimo Me'al Kolponim, Hashem will remove all tears from people. We will no longer have tears. And the medrash adds to that, Afilu Demois Shel Simcha, even tears of joy we won't have anymore. Why will we not have tears of joy after we've been redeemed? So Rav Shimon Schwab explains that the Beis HaMikdash came down to this world. It brought tremendous joy. It is described as Messias Kol Haaretz, the joy of the whole world. The joy that is joy, that brings joy to the world. And once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, that brought into the world a sea of mourning. The whole world was covered with a sea of mourning. And we've lost the ability to really feel joy. Yes, we have times of simcha, times of joy, but those he describes as little islands in between, in the middle of that sea of sorrow. And sometimes during that joy, we feel such simcha that it overflows. It goes over the island into that sea of sorrow. And when it goes into the sea of sorrow, that causes that joy to turn into tears of joy. Tears of joy are not total happiness. It means in your subconscious, you're feeling that loss of the Beis HaMikdash. You're feeling it's not possible to have so much joy without the Beis HaMikdash. So the joy turns to tears. So when we have the final Geula, when we have that redemption, we will no longer have tears of joy. There'll be nothing to mourn. So when Yosef and Binyamin meet, yes, it's true they're crying tears of joy. But how is it possible to cry tears of joy? The tears of joy are coming because they're mourning that destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. But we've lost the ability to cry, to feel. In the old days, people would sit every night at Chatzos at midnight, and they would say Tikkun Chatzos. They would cry and daven for the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. They put signs up in people's houses. Mishen nichnas Adar marbim besimcha. When Adar comes in, we increase simcha. You know why they put those signs up? Because people didn't feel simcha during the year. They felt sadness over the fact that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. They needed a reminder. So they would put signs up on the doors, on the walls. Remember, now it's Adar bi besimcha. Today, we need signs. Mishen nichnas Av, when Av comes, memaitin besimcha. We have to lessen the simcha. We don't know what it means to mourn. There's somehow a disconnect. But why is that? Rav Gifter, the Rosh Yeshivan, tells, after the Six-Day War, he went to visit Eretz Yisrael, to go to the holy places that hadn't been possible to go to until then. And one day he had been to the Kaisel, he had been to Kever Rachel. And one of his Talmidim asked him that evening, which one of those two sites inspired you more, the Kaisel Maravi or Kever Rachel? And he said, the Kaisel. His Talmud said to him, I have asked this question to many people, and everybody says, Kever Rachel. Why is it that you're different? So he said, it's very simple why. He says, people can relate to Kever Rachel. They can imagine the Mama Rachel, the Baba Rachel. They can relate to a mother crying. They saw their own mother, their own grandmother. They understand how a mother cares and worries about her children. So they can picture Rachel Imenu crying for us. And that is why that inspires them when they think of their own mothers. They can relate to it. But Churban, destruction, people can't relate to such a thing. But he said, I learned in Tells in Europe. I saw Kehillas Kedoshes. I saw Yeshivas Kedoshes. I saw unbelievable things, what Torah was before the war. I saw what it meant an Edel in Yeshiva. A Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur in Yeshiva. I saw G'dayla Hadar, great people, what they were before the war. I saw unbelievable Yiddishkeit, Torah, Kedusha. And all of that, he says, Kol Zeh Nechrav Bavineinu. All that has been destroyed through our sins. I can recognize and see and understand Churban, destruction. So when I see the Kaisel, I see the Beis HaMikdash lying in ruins, I can cry for that. But other people are not able to. We are missing that ability to relate to it. Yirmiyahu HaNavi said, Mi yitein roishi mayim. I wish my head would be exchanged for a bucket of water. I would like my head to be full of water. What was he saying, Yirmiyahu HaNavi? He was saying that my head, his head that was filled with Kedusha, with holiness, with Torah, with Nevuah, with prophecy, he would exchange all of that to be filled with water. Why? Water, tears, to be able to cry. Because Yirmiyahu HaNavi understood, tears bring Geula. Tears can bring back the Beis HaMikdash. Chazal tell us, Shari Demois, the great gates of tears, are never closed. But that caring, those meaningful tears, that's what HaKadosh Baruch wants to see. That will bring back the Beis HaMikdash. There's no simcha without the Beis HaMikdash. That should be enough to help us mourn, to realize the, how much we're missing. David HaMelech says, Hakshiva Orinosi, listen to my cries, Ki Daloisi Moyoid, because I'm very impoverished. And the Dubna Magid asks, at a strange language, Rinosi, listen to my cries. Rina is the Lashon of joy. Why does he use a Lashon of joy to describe his crying? So Dubna Magid explains with a mashal. There was a person who sees two boys dancing for joy. He goes over to them and he asks them, what's the big simcha? And they said, the simcha is that tonight our mother told us that we're going to get a real supper. We're going to get two slices of bread to eat. So this man sees and he says, Nebuch, this family, there's such joy from two slices of bread for supper. Nebuch, how poor they are. David HaMelech says, Hakshiva, listen to Ribbono Shel'olam, El Rinosi. Look what we're joyful for. Look what we're excited and happy about today. From the fact that we're so excited by these little things, we don't know what real joy is. From that you can see, Ki Daloisi Moroid, how impoverished we are. You can see that we don't even get it at all. From the fact that we get joyful at the things we have today, we don't understand and realize what real joy is. If we knew what real joy is, if we knew what we were missing, we would cry incessantly. But we just don't get it. David HaMelech also says, Keili, Keili, Loma Zavtoni, Ribbono Shel'olam, why do you abandon me? Rochek Mishuasi Divrei Shagosi. I cry out that my salvation seems so distant. And I once heard a pshat in this, that we have no concept what Geula means, what a Beis HaMikdash means, how wonderful life would be if the Beis HaMikdash would be rebuilt, how much simcha there would be, like we said, we can't relate to. I once had somebody working for me, and he said to me that he was building a bathroom, it so happens. And he told me the night before, he had sat eating a steak supper with a friend of his. This friend of his, they had been through Auschwitz together. And they were reminiscing over the steak supper when they were in Auschwitz, of the times back then. And he says they mentioned then that one night they were eating their rations in Auschwitz, a hard bit of bread, stale bread, and a little piece, starving hungry. And they had said to, one had said to the other then, one day we're going to get out of this Gehenna. We're going to get out of here and we're going to eat. We're going to have a whole loaf of fresh bread to eat. That was their dream, to be able to get bread, a whole loaf of bread, fresh bread. That's all they could relate to. Steak? They didn't dream of such a thing. They couldn't relate to steak. Says David HaMelech, we think Geula is going to be, redemption is going to be so wonderful, so special. We have no clue what redemption is going to be. What we think it's going to be, it's nothing like that. Says David HaMelech in Tehillim, Keili Keiloma Zavtoni, Rochik Mishuasi, so distant will my salvation be, Midivri Shagosi, than the words of my cry. What I'm crying for, what I'm begging for a loaf of bread. The simcha I think I'm going to have is like a loaf of bread. It's going to be so much more than that, something that we can't even dream of. That alone is enough for us to cry, to realize that how much we're missing. But Rav Shimon Schwab explained it, that for today, to try to explain to somebody what it means life without a Beis HaMikdash is like trying to explain to a blind person how traffic lights work. It's beyond our comprehension. But we can understand it's something so wonderful, something that we should truly mourn for. But it's more than that. We have to realize that our generation, if we mourn, it has that extra value because it's so difficult. We don't live in a generation that's threatened with a blood libel. That when we bake matzahs, we have to worry that accuse us of using the blood of a Christian child. We don't have to worry when we're sitting at a Shabbos Seder that a mob is going to come down, running down the street to make a pogrom. We don't have to worry about living in a Holocaust. We don't have to worry about living in ghettos dying of starvation. We don't have to worry about living under the eye of the KGB. Today, the most difficult decisions in life, which restaurant to eat in, which camp to go to, where to go to vacation, which hors d'oeuvre to serve at the wedding. A dor such as ours, a dor who lives in Medina Shel Chesed, United States, lets us practice our religion. We can do whatever we want. If we krechts, if we cry, if we shed a tear, that mourning is so valuable. It can bring geula. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, Yosichu bi yoshve shar, unaginois yoshve shechar. The Medrash explains this Pasuk to mean, La'acher sha'achlu v'shosu, after people drink, kol tzorcham, they eat and drink until they're satiated. They're full. V'shav la'aretz, they sit on the ground. V'oimrim, and they say, kinos and echa, they sit and cry for the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. The Ksav Sofer explains the Medrash, that it's very easy for a generation to cry when things are difficult, when people are suffering, when there's individual suffering, when there's national suffering, when all around a person sees suffering. Yes, then it's easy to pour copious tears. But when you live in a generation that has, says the Ksav Sofer, kol tov, everything good, and still cry, still remember Tzion, still beg for the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, to eat, to drink, to be satiated, and then forget all the good we have, sit on the floor and cry, feel the avelos, feel the mourning, then we'll be zeicher to geula. When they captured the Kaisel in 1967, and the troops broke through, you can imagine the inspiration those troops felt. These Jews, realizing we now had the Mokom HaMikdash, the place of the Beis HaMikdash back in our hands after 2,000 years. It was an awe-inspiring moment. And all of them burst into tears, crying, standing in front of the Kaisel. One of the religious soldiers turned to one who was not yet religious. And he said to him, okay, I'm crying. For me, this place means so much. But why are you crying? What does it mean to you? So he said, I see how all of you are so inspired. And I see how much it means to you. The feelings, the passion, the crying. I'm crying because I'm not crying. That's something we can certainly do today. We certainly can cry because we're not crying. That's an emotion we can all feel. We can all relate to. Rav Shach used to say over that in Shemoneh Esrei, every day we end off with Yehi Rotzei, She'bona Beis HaMikdash. We beg the Ribbono Shel Olam to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. It's interesting that we end like that. In Shemoneh Esrei, we have said a bracha of Tekah B'Shoifa Godoy L'Cheresenu. We beg HaKadosh Baruch Hu to blow a shoifa of our redemption. We have brachas with the Rishlaim Urcha B'Rachmim Toshuv. We beg the HaKadosh Baruch Hu to return to Yerushalayim. Es Tzemach David Avdecho. We want to see the throne of David, Malchus Beis David, come back. V'Zechazene Einenu B'Shivcha L'Tzion B'Rachmim. We want the Shechina to come back to Tzion. There's so many times we ask for geula, redemption. What is this at the end of Shemoneh Esrei? We add in again, Yerotzon, may be your will, She'ibonei, you will build the Beis HaMikdash. Why repeat it again at the end? So Rav Shach explained that he says it over with a story. He says there was a king who one day a year would grant requests. Whatever you needed in life, you could come and ask him for. And so came this day, and a person comes to him. He stands in front of the king, and the king asks him, what's your request? He says, I have a son who's dying. He's very, very sick. I don't have the doctors. I can't find the doctors. I can't afford the doctors. I want somebody to take care of him and make him better. The king says, don't worry about it. We will make sure that your son will get better. And he tells somebody to write it down. And then the man is about to leave, and he says, could I ask something else? And he says, yes. And he says, I also don't have pranasa. I lost my job a while back, and I don't have what to eat. I don't have how to pay my rent. Could you help me find another job? And the king says, yes, we'll take care of you. And one more request. He says, yes, what is it? He says, my daughter is getting old already. She can't find a shidduch. Perhaps you could get involved, speak to people. Help me find my daughter shidduch. The king says, yes, we'll take care of that too. And then the man leaves. And he backs out the rooms, out of respect for the king. And as he gets to the door, he just calls out. He calls out to the king. He says, please, please, don't forget my child. Please get the doctors. Heal my child. He doesn't mention the shidduch for his daughter. He doesn't mention that he needs a job. What is the uppermost in his life? The life of his son. That's what he cares about. That's what he wants to get back. And he's crying and begging for it. We go through Shemoneh Esrei. In the Shemoneh Esrei, we ask for different things. We cry to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we ask for forgiveness. We ask for das, which to have knowledge. We ask for refuah, for healing. We ask for panosa. We ask for many things. We ask for geula, redemption also during Shemoneh Esrei. But then we finish Shemoneh Esrei. We say Oseh Shalom, we're backing away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And remember, there's one more thing. There's one more thing before we leave Ribbono Shel Olam. Please, please, don't forget. Yi Rotzon, please, may be your will. Shei Bono Beis HaMikdash. That is the uppermost in our mind. That is what we want more than anything else. Please build the Beis HaMikdash. And we have to realize, if the Beis HaMikdash is built, the other tzaras would also go away. Everything will get better for us. Life will be better. And that is definitely what to cry about. We should take these lessons to mind. Think about this inyan of avelas, to feel it, not just to act the outward acts of mourning, but to actually feel it in the heart. And then it's Shemul B'Zoicha, Kol HaMisavel HaYerushalayim, whoever mourns in Yerushalayim, Chazal tell us, Zoicha V'Roya, will be Zoicha to see Simchosa, Nechemosa, and see the redemption of Yerushalayim again, Mitzshem.